protracted fight, Airbnb had successfully beat back a ballot initiative in San Francisco to dramatically curb its operations. Chesky was soon leaving for Paris for the Airbnb Open, the company's annual celebration of its hosts, those people who deliver the product upon which the Airbnb platform is based. As we left the lounge, he talked excitedly about what the company had planned. On one single evening, hundreds of Parisian hosts were scheduled to open their homes to the entire group for a series of coordinated dinners all across the City of Lights. "It's going to be one of the world's largest simultaneous dinner parties," he said excitedly. And with that, the 34-year-old billionaire left the room. The first time I heard about Airbnb was in 2008. At the time, I was in charge of the section of Fortune magazine that covered the quirkier side of business, and we'd gotten word about a couple of scrappy entrepreneurs who were gaining some attention during the 2008 presidential election season for hawking collector's edition boxes of fictitious breakfast cereals called Obama O's and Cap'n McCain's. They were recent Rhode Island School of Design grads trying to build word of mouth for their newly formed startup, Air Bed and Breakfast, which let people rent out sleeping quarters in their homes to other people who needed a place to stay. I thought the business idea itself was nothing new, but the cereal gimmick was plucky and had gotten some national attention, so we ginned up a short piece on it to run in Fortune. I didn't give it more than a passing thought. Over the next year or two, though, the company started to gain buzz, edging onto the radar of our tech reporting team. Someone brought it up internally as a company to watch. Wait a minute, I thought. Those guys? I was not involved with Fortune's tech coverage, which meant that I didn't always know what I was talking about when it came to the companies coming out of Silicon Valley. But I also felt that distance gave me a healthy arm's-length perspective on the self-important euphoria that seemed to waft out of the region. As the keeper of Fortune's 40 under 40 list, I was also used to breathless pitches from companies claiming they would change the world in 1 year's time, only to be significantly humbled the next. I sometimes took a certain amount of pleasure in pointing out when I thought certain ideas were overblown and overhyped. This new company, I thought, was one of them. I made a mental list of all the other companies that already existed that offered the ability to rent someone's home or space in it. HomeAway.com, VRBO.com, Couchsurfing.com, BedAndBreakfast.com. I wondered how this new company could be so different. What is it about these tech startups, I remember grousing to a colleague, that think they can take an old, unoriginal idea, gloss it up with a slick, minimalist, design-friendly website, and re-release it back onto the marketplace as something new? But this company was going to be different from all those others, and in a short time that would become clear. Soon, Airbnb had become a thing. You could rent someone's home for a night, but people had also started to upload quirkier spaces. A treehouse, a houseboat, a castle, a teepee. Millennials in particular were drawn to this new way to travel that was both affordable and adventurous. You could stay in people's homes in neighborhoods off the conventional tourism grid, connecting with like-minded souls for much less than the cost of a hotel. Listings and bookings started to catch fire. As early as 2011, Airbnb raised a mega $112 million from backers, was valued by investors at more than $1 billion, and had booked 1 million overnight stays on its platform. Over the next few years, it would leave those figures in the dust. 1 million bookings turned into 5, 10, 50, and then 140 million guest arrivals by the end of 2016. Some 70 million of which had occurred in just the past 12 months. Its valuation jumped to $10 billion, to $25 billion, and to $30 billion, where it sits as of this writing. Yet the company still has low awareness and low penetration in the housing market. Analysts predict it will get many times larger than it is today. It's hard to look at any phenomenon with that kind of growth without trying to understand just why it took off. Part of it was economic. Coming as it did right out of the Great Recession, it offered a way for everyday people to make money off of their homes and a much more affordable way to travel. Its first adopters were millennials, the swelling demographic that were coming into their own as apartment dwellers. But curiously, the average age of a host in the United States